there, and welcome to the One Church podcast. This message was recorded live at one of our services. If you'd like to know more about life at One Church, visit us online at weareone.church or check us out on social media.
I'm just going to sit down.
Here's what we want to do this morning, okay? Last week we heard from Pastor Simon about the vision for One Church as a network. We want to plant churches over the next 10 years. The vision is like in the UK, the vision is to go wider than the UK across the world. But in order to do that, we need the local church, and we are a local church right now, to continue to grow in order to be able to go and do. And the way that... Yes? Oh, no, he's so upset. Oh, I've got to rope it in. In order to do that, what we've got a local team here at One Church Bristol that meets together regularly to plan and to try and plan where we want to go as a location. We did that in November, where we set some goals for the next year, which we then had to submit to the network and say, "Is this okay?" And they all went, "Yeah, great." But we need you guys to understand where we're trying to go. And in order to do that, we're going to have a conversation this morning. And we're going to crack on with that. Is that okay?
Yeah.
It's going to feel different, and it's not as teachy as we have been before. It's not going to be as like Bible teach, here's loads of verses. We're going to talk vision. We're going to talk heart. We're going to talk hopefully faith. We're going to hopefully impart something into you which excites you to come on this journey with us. All right? Because we can't do this alone, and we need you to be a part of it. So without further ado, let's do this. Let's do this.
I just left you up there to do that. Well done. Let's crack on.
It's not bad for 5 hours sleep, is it? Cool. You've got the same notes as me. Live Big Pathway. Who here knows what the Live Big Pathway is? Okay, there are many of you that are saying no. As part of One Church, we feel a really long way away. As one part of One Church, we have this saying where we want to grow you to live big. Has everybody heard that at least?
Yes.
Cool. As part of the Live Big Pathway, there are three steps to that. And those steps are encounter Jesus, grow personally, and go and make a difference. What does that look like practically? Really honestly, the encounter services are services just like this, where we come together, we gather together, and we have an opportunity, number one, to worship Jesus, but number two, to put him... Not in number order. Put him in his rightful place where we go, "Jesus, here I am. Come and meet with me right now." And we want people to come into this place and literally to encounter Jesus. Part two of that pathway is to grow personally. And we have a number of programs that we're going to chat about around doing that. And number three is go and make a difference. And there are opportunities for every single one of us to go and make a difference in our community and in our world to help other people, hopefully, get onto this journey, which is to encounter Jesus, to grow personally, to go and make a difference. To encounter Jesus, to grow personally, and to go and make a difference. Mm-hmm. Now, we've broken down our vision into those three categories mainly that we're going to talk around, right? And encounter is probably the easiest place to start because it's really visible in terms of what we do. Everyone here is part of what encounter is because you've turned up to an encounter service this morning. Good job. But Mike, why not tell us what your heart is for Encounter over the next year?
Yeah, hi everyone. Good morning. I'll just begin by saying this. Our nation, right, just think big at the moment, just think the UK, our nation needs more spaces where people can encounter Jesus, where they need to encounter him. They don't know that they need to encounter him yet, not everybody does, but they need to. And the church's job, our purpose, isn't it, is to create those spaces and make it as easy and accessible as possible so that our friends and our family and our neighborhood and our community and our city and our nation might have a place they can go and encounter the Jesus we've encountered, the Jesus that we've met, and the Jesus that's become so real to us in our lives. And so these services, they are about us, but they're also about that. These times where we gather together are about that. Can we create a place here where heaven can come and touch earth and that anybody in that spot at that time can get zapped in a kind of spirit way, by God. They can encounter God, not in like a literal laser way. They can find the presence of God. They can encounter the presence of God. I think we all understand that that's good, yeah? That's kind of what we're on the planet to do as Christians, to create spaces, to encounter Jesus. And so we do that as one church, and we have several locations that are spaces in different towns and locations, but different spaces where people can encounter Jesus. And so that's what this is about, by the way. We want Sunday mornings, whenever we gather like this, to be a place where anyone can come, understand it, enjoy it, feel part of it, feel welcome to it, and hopefully to have a moment where they meet Jesus for themselves. We're going to create those opportunities. I'll talk some specific goals in a moment, and guys, you can feed into this because you're part of this too, but you know, we have we did this last year, and we're going to do it again this year. Almost every Sunday last year, at the end of the service or somewhere in the service, we created an opportunity for people to respond to Jesus. We'd say something like, do you want to know Jesus? And you know, last year, we had definitely 5 and probably a few more that actually responded to that and said, yeah, I'd like to know Jesus. That's incredible, isn't it? And 5 baptisms. 5 people went through the water of baptism and committed their life to Jesus. That is what this is about. Yeah. And we're going to teach. Yeah, we're going to preach. Yeah, we're going to do stuff together. But the heart of it is so that someone might come into this room and maybe for the first time say, whoa, there is a God. Jesus is real. And I've now met him. And that's kind of the heart behind Encounter. We got some goals. Shall I quickly run through them, or do you want to make a comment on that?
No, go for it.
Okay. Listen, you heard Simon last week. Some of us would have heard Simon last week talking about planting more churches. Why? Because we want to create more spaces for people to encounter Jesus. But if we're going to plant a church from here, well, then we've got some growing to do. Yeah? We're going to need to put some investment into this. We're going to need to put some time into this because as things stand, just talking about Sundays now, our teams are just about operational. What I mean by that is we've got just enough people on the production team, just enough people on the hospitality team, just about enough people on the band, just about enough people on the kids team, maybe not quite, just to keep things as they are, happening as they are, just about there. If 2 people are sick and 3 people are on holiday, we're stuffed. I mean, it's like, you know, oh, crikey, you know, we've got a real kind of challenge just to be able to make a Sunday morning kind of viable if several people are all away at the same time. And there's no way, because we operate on an entirely volunteering basis, there's no way you can say, you know, no, you can't go on holiday. So we really are at the mercy, really, of that situation, okay? And I like to think of it like green, amber, and red for a team. Imagine that. Imagine green is you have got everybody you need for that team and a few more. And if you have 2 people on holiday, 3 people sick, and 1 person didn't get out of bed, you're okay because you're in the green. You've got flex, yeah? You've got a bit of capacity. Amber would be a team that just about has enough to operate, but if 3 or 4 people were away, even if 1 person was away, suddenly that team is in trouble. Red is that team has not got enough people to viably run. Imagine that, green, amber, red. If we're going to move forward as a location and plant another church, all of our teams need to be well in the green. Okay? And most of our teams are probably amber at the moment, and occasionally red, okay? So we got to work really hard as a church to build our teams. And here's a couple of things we're excited about for the next year. We're going to put some financial investment into our band because we're really aware. We're really aware. We want to build a team here. We want to build musicians and singers and have a band that is well and truly in the green, but not just because we need more singers, but because that would be just great, wouldn't it, to build a team that can lead us in worship. And so we're actually going to put finance into our band so that we can, if there are people that are interested in being part of it, we can pay for some singing lessons or some guitar lessons or some piano lessons and actually invest in where we want to go. Because we're aware that that's quite a skilled area, isn't it? Not all of us are musicians and not all of us are singers. But if there's somebody who's saying, you know what, I've got a heart for worship and I want to be part of that, we might just be able to help you get started on that journey. And so we're going to put our money where our mouth is when it comes to worship, because we really believe in that, and that's exciting. Kids, do you want to talk about kids for a minute?
Yeah, so we've obviously have a lot of amazing young people in our church, lots of young families. You saw them all skipping off during song two earlier on. We have got the amazing privilege at the moment of not only having our church families in church, but we have opened up some of our community families, so they come in. We've got links with them anyway through our parties and other kind of go events that we do in the weeks and things, and they come in and they are coming and accessing what we do in that room, which isn't just babysitting. It's not just kids shut up and go in there while the grown-ups do their church. We are passionate as a leadership, and certainly I am and have been for years, that our kids deserve a church where they belong, and they, this is their building, this is their family, right. They can learn about Jesus for themselves, and have to wait until they're 20-odd to be able to pray or to be able to, let's train them up now, let's use those formational years in their lives where they are sponges anyway when it comes to everything else. And let's like pour God and love into them. So our team are amazing that are out there. I just want to honour some of them. In fact, I think most of them are out there. But we've got Becca and John. John's at the back. John, absolute legends. One of our kids leaders at the back. We've got Matt. We've got Claire. We've got myself. We've got Emma. We create a team where every week we try and put on something where our kids can encounter God, grow personally. And we're starting to do a little bit of go as well with them being on the welcome team, which is going super well. Anyway, we've got a vision for that, and we want to be able to put that on every single week. We don't just want to be running when we possibly can, and like Mike says, one of us is poorly, and like, oh no, we've not got enough leaders to really input into these kids. So we've got a bit of a goal this year as well of having two more support team on team and one more team lead. So that, like, in terms of like, what does that look like? It is so simple. If you can love Jesus and then share that love with someone else, you can be on kids team. Right. It's so simple. It's not as scary, and they aren't as scary as you may think. And you know, kids are, they are our future, and we want to input into that. So we've got a vision and a heart for them to build their team in order that we can actually do more with them out there as well. And grow them, and who knows, we're going to have like a kids band one day up here, Liam, I'm just putting that out there, and we're going to be, you know, kids, we want our young people and our youth, Josiah just caught my eye, to be leading us in what is to come, because if it starts and ends with us, what's the point, you know, what is the point? So we want to invest in that, so we're really passionate about that as a team. So three team members we are in faith believing for this year, we are going to get, so that we can bolster up that team, we can run every week, we can do some amazing stuff with those guys out there.
There's something wider than just the team as well, right? So you mentioned about inputting and developing our kids to be able to lead. Like some of you may have noticed that John and Claire and Jacob aren't here this morning. Do you want to tell us why that is?
Yeah, so we've got we're part of a wider network of church called the Assemblies of God, and we are piloting as one church something called Young Lions Juniors. So we recognize, and the nation has recognized, there's a massive gap and drop off when you get from year 6 to year 7. It's really hard to get kids from kids into youth provision or in church. You know, you're too old to be in there, but you're too young to access what we're doing, and it's a really tricky kind of, and lots of kids fall through that net. So what's happening is something called Young Lions Juniors, where it's just for year 6s and year 7s to go and be part of a wider program. Jacob Pitts is one of our guys in Bristol that's part of that. He's an absolute amazing kid. He's in Gloucester this morning, so they go and they learn how to serve their local church, and they're part of just something bigger than them. And it pulls out that leadership gifting in them and calls that upon them. Again, not waiting until they're however old to do that, but actually being intentional with that and spending quality time investing in those kids. So, we've got different things that happen, but that is just one of them.
I just want you to think about this for a moment. If we added just a couple of people to that team and a couple of people to the band each year for the next 5 years, us. At least 10. At least 10. Well, I should have done my maths. Suddenly, those teams are looking much, much, much more like we can start to really plan out and do more things now. Does that make sense? So just that's not a big thing to believe for, 2 a year. That's not a big thing to believe for. But I think God can do more than that. But just start there as a base rate and say, look, God, can we believe for a couple of people on this team this year and on that team this year and on the production team this year? And start to believe that God can build these groups, these teams together in such a way that we're able to do more than we could imagine. Yeah.
The reality is that our Sundays don't work without teams. And so if you're part of a team that serves on a Sunday, we genuinely can't say this so much, but thank you so much.
Yeah.
Because we know that you've got busy lives. We know that work can be stressful. We know that families can be a pain in the backside. Sometimes. Lots of time. But for the majority of us in this room, we don't get paid by church to do it. And so we purely do this because it's in our heart, right? Yeah. Mm. And so thank you for giving up your time. Thank you for the effort that it takes, for getting out of bed that hour earlier on a Sunday morning, for serving people even when you don't feel like it, for smiling even when you want to punch somebody in the face. Just me?
Just you, Kai.
Just me.
Anger management is our next...
But Jesus is in my heart, and so I don't actually do it. But in all seriousness, thank you so much for the time and effort that you put in, for everyone that's part of a team or is leading a team. We genuinely couldn't do this without you, and we really, really, really do appreciate you so much. So thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Yeah. Yes.
I'll just say something about targets as well, just before we move on to grow. We set a faith target for 8 salvations this year. No, that was 8 salvations last year, okay? We've doubled that. This year, we're believing for 16. Yeah. 16 people this year in the Sunday morning are going to give their lives to Jesus this year. 16. Can you say that back to me? 16. Okay, now that might seem like a lot to you at the moment, okay? It is a faith target. I'm not going to get sacked or employed next year based on whether or not I meet that target. It's not that, okay? It's not that.
For those of you out there going, how do we get him fired?
This is us making a declaration as a leadership team. This is us making a declaration as a leadership team. Okay, we really want this to be a place where people meet Jesus, and we're going to go for it. We're going to preach for it. We're going to ask for responses. We're going to go for it and say, this year, can we see 16 salvations this year? We're already putting in a date in Easter for our next baptism service because we really believe in faith there are going to be people that are getting baptized this year. We're being quite intentional about this. We're not just being kind of... going with the flow and seeing what happens. We want this to happen. And so we're praying for it to happen. And so we're writing it down now. And now I'm speaking it out publicly and saying, I really want this. We really want this. We want to see 16 people give their lives to Jesus this year. We want to see at least 10 of those get baptized this year. And so we've got a goal for 10 baptisms this year. And we want to increase just numerically on a Sunday morning by at least 20 people this year. That's kind of our faith target, okay? So every time you see new people come through those doors and you don't recognize them, help us. Make them feel like $1 million, okay? Make their tea. Make sure they're happy. Sit with them. Smile with them. And let's create an atmosphere that is just really inclusive and helpful to people that are perhaps a little scared when they come in to a whole new place like this. So just so you know, we as a team are really getting intentional about some of those kind of faith targets that we've got.
Yeah. And our numbers aren't the only indicator of health, but it is something that we track every week. So we are counting your heads. like we were talking about last week, if you were here, us growing numerically isn't to make our name bigger. It's for us to create places for people to encounter Jesus. So when we're talking numbers and we're talking like, let's get 20 more people in, let's pin them down in their chairs and make sure that they're okay, it is because we want them to have a big life and we want to be able to connect them to Jesus. Let's talk grow, because I hear that Ed and Annabelle have had a lot of people in their house over the last year. And they love you all, but that's not sustainable in the long run, is it? So what's the plan next? What are we going
to
do?
Yeah, it's gotten to the place, really, where Sophie and Carly have had to sit in the downstairs toilet. We've got Andy is in the kitchen. And, no, so it's... They've had, listen, Ed and Annabelle, I want to honour them to you because they are such a generous, hospitable, wonderful couple, aren't they? And we love them to bits. And they've really opened up their home over the last couple of years now and invited people in who are interested, A, in building relationships with one another, because that's really the engine, the heart of our church is family, but also to grow together and to learn together and to go on discussions and just be honest and open and do this together, and that's really what they've been facilitating, and haven't they done it well?
Yeah.
They are really, really good.
And if you've not been, go. It's good. It's so good.
They are a great couple, but we can't just keep adding more and more people to that group. And if these 20 people come, or if we have 16 people get saved, or 10 people get baptized, we can't keep adding them to one house. And so our heart and our faith target this year is we're going to open up another grow group. And Danny and I are going to run a group. Okay? So
we are?
Between Danny and I and Ed and Annabelle, as a little team there, the four of us are going to be responsible for two groups. Okay? We might move around a little bit. We might kind of share it a bit, but the idea is we want to create more opportunities for people to engage with Grow. We've got to create space. So at first it might be a little bit weird, or it might be a little bit different, or you might think, there were 16 people here last week and now there's 8, but that's okay, because we're creating room. Yeah. We're just creating room for more people to be added, and we believe that that's going to grow, and that this time next year I'll be sitting down saying we need 4, you know. So just, again, making a little step of faith, creating up another room, another space where people can encounter Jesus is kind of our heart for Grow this year.
It's a great place to grow, isn't it? Like, it's a nice, catchy name. Yeah. But the reality is, like, you grow best when you're surrounded by like-minded people. The Bible says about iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Like, it's not just a good idea. It's biblical. Yeah. So it sounds really hypocritical, but why not get yourself there? What's your excuse? You're busy on a Thursday? Okay, well, maybe the next grow group will be a different day that works better for you. Maybe, like, whatever your excuse is, I'm sure there is a reason better than your excuse to be a part of it. And if nothing else, you build really good friendships. So also amazing conversations. I said, if nothing else... Typically,
if nothing else.
There's something really important about this encounter, grow and go. Each one of those is really crucial. If you're going to live big, if you're going to live the life Jesus has called you to, you want to be encountering him, you want to be growing, and you want to be going, right? If you drop one of those, and typically in churches across the nation now, the one of those three that gets neglected is usually grow. So people turn up on Sunday, and they turn up at a community project event, but typically it's the grow that is neglected. Yeah, I just want to say to you, I encourage you to keep grow as a part of your discipleship. A disciple literally means student, okay, or follower, a student, a learner, somebody who's engaged in a process of life learning to follow Jesus. And what better place to do that than with other friends and people? And we're just creating a space to do that. So I encourage you to have an encounter, have a place you grow, and have a place you go. Don't have an encounter and 6 goes and no grow. Because I tell you what that will do to you, it will burn you out. And you'll walk out of the church bitter because we burned you out. I don't want to burn you out. I want you to go, but in balance with grow and encounter. Does that make sense? So it's a really kind of intentional pathway that I hope you can invest in that isn't asking so much of you that it burns you out, but at the same time is asking you to sacrifice a little bit here because we think it's really important. So encounter, grow, go.
So Ed and Annabelle will have a group. You'll have a group. Is there a plan beyond that?
So So within those groups, we want to train people up so that at the end of this year, we do a third group. Because again, imagine if 16 people give their lives to Jesus, 10 people get baptized, new people join us as well, as is often the case. We just need the space. And we want to build. We want to grow. So we're really excited for that. And imagine that over the next 5 years. What would that look like? Suddenly, it doesn't seem so impossible that in a few years' time, we might be able to plant another location of one church. So try and grasp the big picture and then see the steps, okay? Now, God doesn't work to our steps. He'll do what he wants to do. But we should still make plans and still build and still invest and still try. So that's kind of our heart for this year, is to add another group at least.
That's really exciting. So if you have a passion for helping people understand the word of God, this is your ministry. And yeah. I'm sure Mike and Danny and Ed and Annabelle would be really keen to hear from you if that's something that you want to get trained in. Yeah. Or maybe you have loads of experience of it already.
Yeah.
We'd love to have you on board with that. Yeah.
Or maybe you've got a massive house.
Yes.
You think, genuinely, maybe you think, I can't lead people, but my house is huge and I can make tea and coffee. Yeah. Like, for a big group, you need space. And maybe what you can do is host a group. Yeah. You don't have to lead it, you can just host. That would be amazing too. We need people like you as well.
Yeah. One of the most exhausting things about leading a grow group at times, I think, well, from maybe because we're not very good at hospitality, is having your house ready every week. So if you are willing to share the house rota, that would take so much pressure off of our grow team as well.
Definitely.
Tea and coffee is a ministry for sure.
Great tea.
Good coffee. Yes.
A Jesus ministry.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
We're talking weekend away, or have we covered it?
Yeah, weekend away is happening June. Now, you saw the dates earlier on. Can I just say something about the weekend away?
It's not yours. You look at your thing. It's not you.
It's all right. It's okay.
It's Emily.
It's okay. No, it's fine. I've been talking.
He's been off work for a few weeks. Can't stop him.
Can't hold me back.
Sorry, carry on.
Go, mate.
It's going to be absolutely brilliant. I encourage every one of you to be part of it if you can. Come along, enjoy it. It's like, in the words of Matt Oldfield last year, it's not overly Christian. That's what he said. What we mean by that is this isn't 3 days of ministry, okay? This is a lot of downtime. This is a lot of hanging out, having fun, social fun time in a really lovely location in the summer. I mean, you cannot, it's like a holiday. It really is. And then there will be little moments where we get to share together devotion or a little vision, and there'll be moments of that. But really the heart is that we grow together together while having a lot of fun in the summer. It really is a wonderful place to go and do that. So I encourage you.
Yeah, so you can book in on Church Suite. Or Mike even has some printed letters if you'd like one of those. Which will have all the information
killing
on it.
The world.
So if you want that, you can come and see us at the end. We can do that for you. Anything else on grow? No. Okay, so then go. Counter, grow, and go. We have exciting things happening this year in go. So where should we start?
Yeah. So Esther isn't with us today. I want to honour Esther, though, and honour and her team. She is doing such a fantastic job. You know, in lockdown, we almost did hardly anything in the community, and I was really annoyed. I felt really frustrated that we couldn't do much in the community. Lockdown really prevented a lot of what we'd normally do. And so when lockdown ended, we had to resurrect a community project or community work. And Esther has led that from the front, from the beginning, as soon as we could. And I think she's done a tremendous job. And so she's not with us today, but give her a clap anyway. You'll know that most of the driver of that community work is us just being really generous in the community in a time when people are really hard up, when things are difficult. And so more creche and carers are happening this year. But we also want to piggyback the coronation. So you may know that King Charles is being coronated in early May. And his plan is threefold, that he will be coronated on the Saturday. On the Sunday, he's saying, have street parties. And on the Monday, he's saying, why don't you take that day to do something good in your community? So it feels like a real opportunity for the church to rise up and get on board with that. And so that's something we haven't planned yet. We don't know exactly what we're going to do at this time, but we're going to do something in our community over the coronation as well as the creche carries, which is really exciting. And bag drops are back. So we're going to be helping kids get back to school in August with a bag of uniform and stuff that they may not be able to otherwise afford themselves. So there's some exciting things and Jolly Holly Fair.
I think there's some new things as well, because I think there's now a Go team,
I believe.
Oh, if you're in the Go team, little wave. No, apparently there's, yeah, these guys have met and these guys are praying, and this is not, it's not just as in just, but it's not just what we've been doing continuously. We're always looking for other opportunities to take our church out of these four walls and go and be church to everyone else. And that's what it's about as well, isn't it? So, yeah, watch this space. There's going to be lots of more things. And if you're interested in that, if you've got a heart for the community, heart for the lost, then go and chat to Esther or come and chat to us. We can plug you in. But there are always things happening in the background with all of this stuff that we would love more input in. And we would love your ideas and your thoughts and your prayers in that as well. So, yeah, Esther's kind of the point person, but she can't do it on her own. It's a big task. It's a big community.
Great stuff.
Missions.
Yeah. So the reality of our Go projects is that it's like threefold. So in the Bible, in Acts 1, it says, "But you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the world." What that means is, in Jerusalem, in your local community, where you're at, that's where you'll make a difference. In Judea and Samaria is like the regions around Jerusalem. Like, go into those places and make a difference, and to the end of the world. So our Go missions look community, where we're based, like nationally, we'll call that the regions, and then to the world. And then we've got some really exciting opportunities that are coming up as part of the One Church network for us to be able to go on short-term missions. How many of you here have been on a short-term mission before? Raise your hands right up. Nicola, you've been, haven't you? There's a few of us, right? Yeah. But in this coming year, we've got some really exciting opportunities coming up. Here's one that's national. We don't know exactly when, but there's going to be a mission trip that goes to Carlisle. It's going to be a very practical mission where people are going to go and do some building work. And there's opportunity for us, if we want to be a part of that. Across the world, this excites me. I love mission. I'm desperate to go abroad again at some point. Yeah, I know. But we know of especially three trips that are happening. There are two that are currently looking for team members, okay? So opportunities to go to Poland, to the youth camp that Mike and Annabelle went to last year. There's currently a team being gathered for that. There's a team being gathered to go out to the Philippines.
Ooh.
And there's also a team being planned, ready to go to Austria. Now, next week, we've got the One Church Network missions team coming to explain a little bit more about that. But if there's something in you that wants to go on mission, and you're constantly going, I really want to go, but how do I get involved in it? Come and talk to us, because we'd love to get you stuck in. Don't let there be something that gets in your way. If finance is an issue to you going on mission, there's an element of faith in every mission, and finance could be part of that, where you say, God, I can't do this without you turning up. And we've got stories where God has provided through an envelope of money that just dropped through our letterbox. Nobody knew what we needed, but the money that dropped through is exactly what we needed. That's crazy, but that's what faith can do. If you're scared about going abroad, I genuinely believe that God can conquer that fear, and he can be a part of that journey with you that goes, hey, let's do this together, and you're part of a team. Go be a part of a team. And don't let anything get in your way, okay? There are some really exciting stories that come out of missions. You go to give, but every time that I've been on mission, I come back feeling bigger because somebody has spoken into me as well. And wouldn't it be great if on every mission trip there was a representative, if not more than one, from this location that went, that we as One Church Bristol could be making a difference in our community, in our nation, and across the world? That would be amazing, I think.
Yeah, so next Sunday is all about that. That's going to be really, really good. So, yeah, make sure you're here and get everybody to come next week. I think, is that everything on missions?
I think so.
Yeah, okay, so then we've got a gap in church, which you might notice. We have a thriving kids ministry. We have fabulous times in here on a Sunday. But young people, we have a lack. We've got Josiah.
Hands
on the desk. So what's going on there? Where are we at with?
Yeah, okay, so I'll just really quickly give you a little bit of an update because I know we're running out of time. We've got to get you guys home for your Sunday lunches.
Yeah,
but youth is always been a massive passion of One Church Bristol. We've always been really heavily involved, Mike and myself, in youth. We have run youth for the past, four, five, whatever years. On a Friday night, and we get young people coming through these doors, and we share the love of God with them, and we have a crazy fun time with them, and we try not to trash the building with them so that it's ready for you guys on a Sunday. And we have loved doing that, but unfortunately, we had to make a really hard decision the end of last year, 2022. We had to stop running youth in December, so we had to tell all our kids, you know, we love you, we are always here for you, you've got our numbers, you know where we're at, but unfortunately, us as youth pastors couldn't do what we could do anymore. We had to look at our kind of capacity and look at where our time is best spent. And it was just one of those things where we felt like this isn't where God necessarily wants our time spent at the moment. And we had Matt on team with us, and he is absolute legend. But it was basically me, Mike and Matt trying to run a youth group for loads of kids that would come in. And it was amazing, but it was just it wasn't as productive as we'd like it to be. So we had to make the really tough decision and really listen to God and think, where do you want our time spent? Where do you want our investment? And at that moment in time, we felt like God was saying, it's not necessarily doing that on a Friday night. For us personally. So we have a gap, and we are really annoyed at this gap, and we don't want this gap to stay there for long, but we know that we want a thriving youth group as well, because there's no point having kids go in. Where are they going to go before they get to adulthood? Who's going to invest in them? How do we disciple them through those horrible years of teenage years? Like, oh my goodness, can you just think back of all the teenage angst that you get? Like, they need people that are filled with God and gonna kind of mentor them through that. So we are really still massively passionate about young people in this church, but at the moment, we'll hold our hands up and say, we don't have a vehicle at the moment to reach them. And we really want that to be in place again on a Sunday morning, on a weekday, however that looks. So we're just basically believing that God's gonna fill that gap somehow, whether he's gonna bring people that have got a massive passion for youth work, or whether he's gonna drop that in one of your guys' hearts at some point to say, I wanna do something with that age group and that generation. So we're being honest with you and saying, it's not ideal, it's not what we want, but at the moment we can't do that, we can't run this, but we want to. And in the meantime, we want to put all our effort into our amazing Hans and Josiah and anyone else that fits in that category, to provide them with times where they can either serve on a Sunday, but more importantly, just feel like this is their place and this is their home, this is their church, and they are welcome. And we want to be a youthful, energetic, thriving church that annoys people when it's too noisy, really. I love that. I love the mess. I love the noise. Bring them all in. I'll take them all. It's a gap. We want to fill it. We're believing that God's going to do that this year as well. So watch this space.
So
pray for that as well.
Yeah, that we do that.
Definitely.
And just be an encouragement to young people that you do see here. You might feel like you're way out of touch with youth culture. I already feel like I have no idea what they're talking about. But we are here to champion those boys. And like Danny said, this is their church. And let's get alongside them, encourage them.
Amazing.
Yeah. So you've heard... Encounter, grow, go. Kai and Emily currently oversee our encounter work. Ed and Annabelle oversee grow. Esther oversees our go ministry. Liam is overseeing our worship. And Danny and I are now resigning. No, we're not. Danny and I oversee that team. So that team of eight people there is the leadership team of this location of One Church. And I just want to ask you, will you pray for us? Will you hold us up? We have all these hopes and dreams. We won't always do it perfectly, by the way. We try, and we'll make mistakes along the way. We won't always get everything right, but you can trust that that group of people, our hearts, are after the right things, okay? And we just need you to get behind us, support us, pray for us, encourage us, And I know that you will, and I know that you always do. And I'm so grateful that you are so caring for us. Will you continue to care for us? Continue to hold us up? And if you're doing that, and if God's holding us up, we'll win, don't we? We'll win. And so we really believe in this year is going to be a breakthrough year for One Church Bristol.
Yeah.
There's going to be new people. You're going to be sat. It's going to be double this time next year.
Yes.
Really believing for that. And we're all part of this wonderful journey. You're part of our family. You're not here because of what you can do for us or not do for us.
Right.
All right? I want to finish with this. You are here because you are a child of God. He has saved you and he has made you part of this body. Mm-hmm. All right? And my job, as best as I am able, is to equip us, to bring direction to us, to create culture, healthy culture here, so that you absolutely love being part of this body and this family, and that other people will love being part of it too. And you mean the world to us. Mm-hmm. And we want to say again, if we haven't already, and underline it, we are so grateful for all of you, every one of you, mm-hmm. and every conversation and every prayer and every encouragement mm-hmm. that you give us. So that's our vision for this year. That's our hopes, some of our faith targets. That's kind of what we're all about now. So now let's go and get on and do it together this year.